Hello. Good morning. Today is December 29th, and this is the continuation for hearing 20-215. And at this time, if I could ask those that are present to identify themselves for the record, please, starting with the property appraiser.
Fred Blackburn with the Property Appraiser's Office.
Thank you. And petitioner.
Stacy Renee Clegg, homeowner.
All right, thank you very much. And this time, if I could ask you to raise your right hand to be sworn in. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Okay, since we were here last month, I believe, we discussed a site visit by the property appraiser, which was done. The petition was remanded with directions to the property appraiser, and I have received that documentation back. And I've also see on the record here that the just valuation has been revised to a value of $334,712.
Correct.
Okay. So the purpose of this hearing is just to discuss the property appraiser's findings and petitioner to have any comment. We won't necessarily need to regurgitate the case in its entirety from what we've already heard. So we'll just continue based on the recent findings.
May I submit some other records that are necessary for my assessment? I gave a copy to them, and I'm going to give a copy to you. And then I also emailed the pictures to the property appraisers.
Okay. Is this new evidence?
Yeah.
Just got it this morning.
Okay. Is there any objection of the property appraiser to this evidence? Because the purpose of this hearing is not to present new evidence per se, but to discuss the findings of the property appraiser upon the directions of the remand. So,
yes, sir. I'd like to go on record to object it because I haven't had adequate time to research this, and
okay.
You know, having a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes to review information is for me not adequate enough. But
I'd like
you
to
certainly have the right to do that. Yes,
I'd like to state that everything that I put forth in this document has been public record online with the property appraisers. I just printed it from online and then I highlighted it. So there's, you know, dates when it was printed, which was like this week. I would have gotten it sooner, but as you know, I suffer from chronic migraines. So there's days where I just don't get out of bed. So this was the best I could do. And actually, exhibit number 9 is missing because I'm filling it out now. So
this is
just public. An overview of the reason why I feel like my home evaluation was, you know, kind of overdone. And I put in there a letter to the court from my mom explaining the refinance. And then I put in there like evidence that shows my refinance from the bank and proof that my home's model is not with $100,000 worth of upgrades, which I sent the upgraded photos of my friend's house, the same exact model home. Her house is on 10 acres, and she paid like $130,000 in upgrades, and her house is appraised for $470,000. My house is only on a half acre, not 10 acres. And then I submitted 3 new comps that are inside my neighborhood, less than 5 miles away. I submitted my mortgage payment and showing that I have a negative escrow balance of $2,000 plus. Then I showed exhibit number 6, which is my rental property. That was rolled into my first primary mortgage on my house. And the exhibit 7 is my shared rental property with my mom. And I owed her money for helping me build the house. So that was also rolled into it. So I would like to remove those totals from my mortgage amount. So if you read the letter in Exhibit 1, it will explain a little bit further. And then everything else following it is my rebuttal to the property appraiser's comps, which I have in Exhibit number 8. And I printed out a lovely little map here last night at 1 a.m. showing that my house is here and their comps are 9.1 miles and I think this one was like 7 or 8 miles away. It's not even in the same neighborhood. Like, my neighborhood is here and my sister's neighborhood is like right there, and she lives like a mile away, but she's in a completely different zoning than I am. Like, this green section here is mostly like farmland and stuff. So a lot of the samples should have come from within this like 2 mile radius versus 10 miles, like almost 10 miles north and 8 miles south. So I put in there all 4 exhibits, and I also circled and highlighted the differences, the price per square foot, and how that correlates to my house.
Okay.
And then the last one, like I said, I'm still working on, is the conclusion page, and that's because there's a lot of numbers, and I want to make sure I didn't want to do it rushed at like 2 a.m. So I finished the numbers, and I have Exhibit 9 that I can write up a copy for you guys if you'd like.
Okay, well, like I said, the point of this continuation hearing was not to present new evidence, but to discuss what the remand called for, and so I'd like to discuss that at this time. Property appraiser hasn't had time to review this new evidence, so...
Technically, it's not new evidence. It's evidence that was presented by the property appraisers. It's their exhibits. I just... map them and
is it considered
printed
rebuttal
them.
Evidence? Is that what you're saying? Is it
it's
of the property appraiser's evidence?
Yeah, it's Exhibit 8 is rebuttal evidence, and then they also mentioned last time that my mortgage was like $300,000, so that's where they were basing their assumption from. And as you'll see in the letter to the court, how that came about, and you'll see that the $78,400 from my shared rental property with my mom, and the $46,000 was rolled into that. So over $124,000 of my $300,000 mortgage is actually for 2 other properties. And so that's all listed in here through all the exhibits.
Okay.
And like I said, everything's public record. My mortgage is public record. My refinance is public record, and all the comps that I printed were from the website. The map was printed on Hernando County Property Appraisers GIS mapping system, or GSI. Sorry. So it's all public record, and it has most of them have like date and stamped on them. And then I also included like proof of payment. So I have stamped documents there that show that those mortgages were rolled into my primary mortgage.
Okay. I will discuss with the AB attorney whether this evidence can be reviewed and considered again, because it, the point again, as I stated, was not to present new evidence, or rebuttal evidence may be acceptable, but the purpose of this hearing was to not again rehash what we've already discussed, but the issues that have come about from the property appraiser's visit to the site. So at this time, right, I'll ask the property appraiser to testify regarding your findings. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the property appraiser.
Okay. Yes, sir. We, Shannon Stevens and I visited the property, and we got went through the whole interior of the property. We started in the utility room and kind of worked counterclockwise on the interior and right out the garage door. Obviously, you come in the garage area to enter the utility room. We took notes. We took pictures. We took over, I think over 200 pictures of the interior of the home. If it's possible, I didn't print them up. Didn't know if that's what you wanted. I didn't know what a remand was going to be, what you needed in a remand. So, I mean, I could load the pictures up on the big screen possibly, or if we've got time, print out all the pictures for you. I didn't want to sit out and print all 200-something pictures.
No, I don't think that was necessary. The point of, again, revisiting the property was to there was some discussion in the hearing about some things not being functional or operational and some things not being completed. So with the site visit and that, I thought you could make a determination from that as to how that impacts value.
We tried our best to see how that impacted the values with the tools that we have available for us. And that is why we actually came up with 5.2%, but we rounded it down to 5% for the adjustment because our system takes, it doesn't round. It's on a 1% depreciation. That is the reason. But at the end of the day, our percentage was 5.2%, rounded to 5%, giving us a $16,998 for the concerns with inside the house. You know, I've got two-page report of things that were addressed by the homeowner during that time. And again, we tried to do a percentage on the cost to construct the structure. That's where we got our percentages from. Percent complete versus incomplete. And we estimated those percents the best we could based on percent complete. The master bathroom had the, master bathroom and the kitchen had some concerns, more concerns than the rest of the house, in my opinion. The master bathroom, there is a medicine cabinet that was placed in there backwards. Mm-hmm. So when you open up the medicine cabinet, you have to reach around it. So I think they would have to unscrew it, flip it around, put it back in, screw it back in. Again, I'm not a contractor. I don't know that. So, again, these are some things that are out of the scope of the property appraiser on what it would take to get everything back in order. And the mirrors aren't the same height. So if you look across from the makeup station and the wash station, the mirrors aren't exactly uniform on the same height, so I guess one of the mirrors would have to be lifted to correct the height. Glued formica has issues attached to the particle board cabinets, baseboard issues around the cabinets. Most and all closets didn't have any shelving units, so I don't know. There's a lot of unknown variables in this one too. In discussing with the homeowner, she had stated that she shopped for all the, they gave her the lighting and flooring allowance. Electrical and plumbing allowance. So then she could go out and pick what she wanted from Lowe's, Home Depot, or wherever. And so she was, and then she brought them into the house, for the contractors to install. I don't know if that's the same without seeing the contract in detail. Did she negotiate all closets not having shelving units? Because not only closets that had any kind of wire rack were the bedroom closets, but any of the utility or any kind of in the utility room, master bathroom, third bathroom, and I think there was also a closet there as a if you walk in from the utility room to the dining, she had basically made her own shelving units out of wood by screwing pieces of wood along the exterior and putting the plywood on top.
She had the last one to go was in the third bathroom. Other than that, they were all installed. So I guess during construction, there's no shelving in the closet. Faucet in the tub is wobbly. Tile around the tub is sharp. So when you go around the sharp, they have a sharp edge. It might need to be grounded down or sanded down or removed and replaced. It just, they didn't make a very good clean cut. It could kind of sharp. So I guess if you bumped your knee against it or your arm, it could.
Or if you have a kid.
Or if your child. Not saying to prevent injury. Missing grout in some areas. There's cracks in the ceiling and windowsill. So pretty much every windowsill, or not every, but a large majority of the windowsills, if you go up in the top corners, you can see just a hairline crack running from the exterior and interior. I don't know, paint, a little caulk. I don't know what would cost to remedy that and all those. The shower entrance, not wide enough per her plans. Missing vent in the tub for the motor that has since been installed, an access door. Shower is not pitched, so the water stands. Again, I didn't have a level, or we didn't run water. We just took verbal testimony here. The one thing I did notice is underneath the shower, you walk in and walk down, and if you go underneath the step that you go in there and you go underneath, it was not finished underneath the step. So the step would have to come off, retile, and put the step back down. I don't know how much water would splash that far back because the shower is long and it's got a little wall, but anyway, I don't know how much water would get there, but it needs to be finished. Bathroom 2, there was no shelving installed. Gaps in linen closet. What I mean by gaps in the linen closet, from what the homeowner addressed to me, was the trim molding around each door was higher, so you see the railing for the doors. You can see the railing a little bit more than desired. Again, I don't know what standard and typical interior structure of how many inches from the door. Obviously, you got to be able to have enough clearance to open the door. But you also have to make sure you have enough meat to nail to, I would assume. So there was that on a lot of the doors. There is no weather stripping around the exterior of the door, allowing insects and weather to enter. Bedroom 2, one light switch doesn't function. Gap. In closet door, what I mean by gap in the closet door was when they close them, there's the gap didn't line up, it needs to be adjusted. Going through the house, there were light switches throughout the house. I'll just go ahead and touch base on this, that we don't know what they went to. We didn't have the ability to go in and have a electrical outlet tester to test all outlets. We didn't go around and move furniture around and plug anything up to see if the light switches were on an outlet. We did just, when you hit the switch, they didn't operate anything. So there was some unknown. We didn't have the ability to test it to find out exactly if they were operational or not in that aspect.
I did test them, and they did not work with a nightlight or with a phone. No charger plug to charge the phone. That's how I knew they weren't working. And the same with the garage. I have that on an extension cord because they didn't do that right.
Bathroom number 3. Tub has some damage due to building debris thrown into it. Gap in lining closet. Again, same concern. No shelving, crack in wood next to door latch, metal bead board exposed on edge of tub, drywall not finished around the tub, caulking has been done so exterior of tub wasn't visible, touch-up paint wasn't completed. Going through a lot of the house as far as touch-up paint, It was hard to tell if it was contractors or just moving into the house, but there's some nicks and dings throughout the home that would need to be some touch-up paint. Also, I guess there was some exterior concerns. I couldn't physically see it too much. You had to get in there with a close eye to be able to see that there was maybe some spots missing in when they were painting it on the exterior of the home that needed to be touched up as well. All right. Bathroom, or bedroom number 3, door has water damage and won't shut properly. Vent works, gap in closet door, no shelving, window has cracking in the drywall. Again, same thing I spoke of earlier, and the gap on the closet doors didn't line up properly. And also had a little bit more than desired at the top with the trim molding. There was going to the vent works. I guess there are vents inside this home that whenever they have a slide on them which can adjust the direction of the AC wind or heat.
Or block it.
Or shut it off where you can discontinue the air to come in that room. Where some of them are fixed, you can't turn it off or adjust them.
They're broken.
Yeah. Or are they?
Yeah. Okay. They have a slide, but the slide doesn't actually work. I don't know why.
So they would have to basically unscrew it, put a new piece up there, and screw it in to make that, fix that. The movie room, again, gap in the closet doors, not aligned correctly, drywall issues on the window corners, door doesn't shut properly, carpet put in after doors installed. So basically the doors were cut when they had concrete floors. And then when they came in there to do the carpet, they weren't taken off and readjusted on the bottom. Pantry door doesn't adjust correctly, swing shut. So there's a pantry door as you open it. If you walk down the pantry, the door just swings back closed. It's not adjusted or leveled. There was only one shelf that had been installed at the time, but now there's multiple shelves that she has installed. Garage, on the exterior point, there's a large gap around the exterior of the door, I guess less than desired. It's finished and everything. Door not finished and movable. So window not finished and doesn't lock. Outlet for automatic garage opener doesn't work, so they have an extension cord running over to it to operate it. Again, I was unable to climb above her car. We don't, beyond the scope of our thing, to see if the outlet actually worked or not. I don't know. The entry columns never sealed, caulked, allowing insects and water issues. Have now been taken care of. Top of the double doors at the entrance foyer has a large gaps enough to slide your fingers into it. On the columns, on the top and bottom of the columns, I guess they did not finish the caulking around it, but they have now been corrected. Baseboards in the pantry, kitchen, utility room, and the hallway are glued to the drywall, not nailed, per owner statement. Exterior stucco issues, mostly on the southern wall, didn't paint under the windowsills. Faucet exposed to weather. Didn't finish the trim or slider doors, exposed to weather, didn't get a floodlight. So in the front of there, the picture of the house on the garage, there's a electric cover over an outlet spot. I guess there was supposed to be a floodlight installed there, and it's just got a plate over it. Along the slider doors, they didn't trim it out very nice. So when you come in there sideways and look behind the slide door, you can kind of still see wood. And I guess when they did that, they did not seal it up properly, allowing, I guess, spiders and roaches or little tiny insects come through, I guess. Owner stated she had appliances and fixture credit and did all the interior flooring. Interior doors were to be resanded and painted, and they were never done. Some vents aren't adjustable. Utility room, there's some drywall issues. Countertop caulking done due to the separation gap at the top of the closet again. The gap at the closet covering the door. There's no shelving. Touch-up paint would need to be required in that room to market it better. Under the door, to the garage, it needs a threshold. The countertop caulking, basically, when they put in the trim around the wall to connect the gutter, there was a big gap, so there's a large caulking spot there. I guess there was a broken thermostat. Air handler has been installed backwards and had to be repaired to get the high electric bills, to correct the high electric bills, so that's been taken care of. Dining room, the electric works fine, slight drywall issues. The foyer, there's a hole in the drywall that needs repair due to the door hitting it. So when the door was swung open, it punched a hole in the drywall, and there's a plastic plate that you typically buy to cover up those holes and add support there. It was installed. Cracks in drywall, double doors not aligned correctly. There's gaps at the top. Doesn't seal very well. Not all the light switches work. So again, some light switches we tried out and we don't know what they go to. As far as the front door from the homeowner's testimony, because it was all taped up and everything, I guess they're not aligned correctly and allowing draft and allowing insects and so forth to come through the front door. So it was all taped up. I don't think you could use the front door the way it was taped up. Living room slider doors don't seal completely, again, allowing insects entering. No screens on the slider doors. Gaps around the slider can see wood. Some switches don't work. Fan and the remote control that operates the fan do work. In the den, there were no major issues that we could see. The den was full of furniture and stuff, so it was limited access in that room to really get a 100% thorough look of the room, but there didn't seem to be any major concerns. As far as the master bedroom, again, one light switch doesn't function properly. We couldn't find what it goes to. The vent doesn't adjust. There's cracks around the windows, and there was, I guess, supposed to be an archway installed per her plans. That was not installed. Pocket doors into the closet don't align. And they also got some painting issues and touch-up paint. Again, the pocket doors, whenever you shut them, they don't line up tight. There's a little gap, so they need to be adjusted as well. In the nook, the light switch is placed in the wrong spots. No upper cubby was installed. So I guess in the nook, they pushed you on the plans, I guess, leave an upper cubby, I guess, to throw plants or display things in your house that was not built per the plans. We did notice in one of the light switches, when you go to the light switch and you flip the light switch on, it operated the light way down there instead of the light closest to it. You go over to this other light switch and hit it. So there was some wiring, I guess, mixed up in that aspect in the back lanai area. You figure when you go out this door, you hit the light switch, the light closest to you would come on, not the one down there. Kitchen. There was no knobs, I guess, on the cabinet doors. And per testimony from the homeowner, I guess there were supposed to be knobs installed on all cabinet doors. There was no kitchen knobs installed. Formica countertop needed repair because it's a big piece of Formica just like this here.
About in the middle there. And so they come in and they redid the Formica countertop on it to address it from going, again, I don't remember exactly, it was east or west or north, but anyway, they came in there and they redid that portion up underneath the countertop where you sit at the nook area. There's no shelves installed in the cabinetry. The Formica countertops were repaired for testimony from the homeowner on 11/23/20. Damage to the drywall next to a three-way switch. So they're on the above the countertops there. They went in there and tried to repair it. When they tried to repair the switch, they cut out more than desired drywall. So it needs to be come in there and some drywall repatched and put the light switch back on. Because you can see the area around the light switch. Not very attractive in that aspect. Not all switches are working. Dimmers for the lights aren't working. I guess they're supposed to be dimmer switches that weren't or are not working. Hood. There's a oven hood.
Range hood.
A range hood. It's in her den in a box. It's not installed over the range. The microwave and convection oven is not installed correctly and is shimmied to prevent the door from falling open. So whenever you open a microwave door and it swings out, it wants to tilt forward. Now, this is just my opinion this is beyond the scope, but again, I'm going to offer my two cents is that microwave was previously installed above the oven to pass inspection. So when it was installed, again, my assumption is was it installed for the vent, for exhaust, and not with legs? Because typically, from what I've seen, and every microwave is different, is you can install them for above the range or you can install them for countertop. And I don't know if that's the reason why it's tilting when you open up a door, because the legs weren't installed for countertop use. And asking her why didn't they install the fan over the range, and she said it was too heavy. And I made a comment, well, they hung a microwave above there and it passed inspection, so now this fan's too heavy. So, and she said, you have a point there.
I'm sorry, I said it was too hard. They told me it was too hard to install.
I'm sorry.
The instructions for the hood range that I had ordered.
Okay.
They said that it needed to add braces inside the cabinetry because it's like particle board inside the cabinet versus like solid wood. And that they were afraid that the additional work was going to not be enough to hang the vent. So yeah, it would be, they thought we might fall because it could be too heavy. Yeah. But they also said it was too hard to do.
Okay.
When they're contractors and that's what they do. So I still don't have a range hood over my cooktop.
Correct. It's in the box in the den.
It's in my office.
Yes.
In a box.
Yes. All right. Builder installed microwave unit over the range to pass final. And then took it down and said the range is too heavy for the cabinet to hold. Archway not installed. I guess, again, there was an archway from the living room into the kitchen that was not part, that was on the plans and was not installed as in the model home. As well as a cubby over the nook was not installed. Dishwasher would fall out from underneath the cabinet. Has been resolved. So when you open dishwasher door, it's secured into the opening. Cabinets underneath the island, again, no shelves. Glued kick plates and baseboards, poorly done, can see the glue. Scratched cabinet doors. Fridge jammed into space due to wrong specs per her plans. I guess the refrigerator door has to be jammed into the spot. It's in there, it fits, but it's a tight one.
Can I comment on that?
Let me wrap this up. I'm on wrong specs plan, but no revisions were submitted, so we can see. Wraps me up.
Oh, I was just going to say that I was supposed to have a wider wall for that refrigerator and microwave section of the kitchen, and they promised me that if I paid extra money to have it 2 inches wider to fit my refrigerator, that everything would fit. There's no plans. And they never did move that wall. So my refrigerator is literally squished in, like, between the upper cabinet and the wall, and it has to scratch the wall the whole way in. And now if it leaks, I can't get it out. So it's definitely a problem. I'm waiting for them to come back. We can shave down that wall. Well, that sounds like a nightmare, because I live there and my kid has asthma, and shaving down drywall is going to be everywhere. So I'm like, is there any other solution to this? I don't know. Maybe cut the cabinet, wall. Either way, as you heard, the summary is that my house was supposed to be a dream custom home, and it's more like a nightmare home. many things are still missing, promises unkept. I sent an email to the property appraisers with the same exact model house as mine, which is in my exhibits. It's my friend's house. She lives like a mile and a half up the street. And her house was with Dream Custom Homes. And because she saw my house and she knew what I was going through, she started videotaping all of her, like, conversations with the builder. And she's like, everything I needed to get done, I made sure they got it done because what you told me. Like, hold them to it. Don't let them, you know, change it or say you didn't say something. Draw your red lines and have them sign it. So her house is the same footprint as mine, exactly the same model, no different in the roof structure or the slab. However, her house has, like, almost all the upgrades. And it was assessed for $470. It's on 10 acres. So that right there is like $90,000 for the 10 acres, and they paid over $130,000 in upgrades. So if I could build her same house after my house was built, because her house just finished in June, I think, of this year, for that same price without all the upgrades, minus the 10-acre land, it would leave my house to be a value of $270. And her house has a pool, a screen in lanai. I mean, I sent him all the stuff, like remote blinds. I have all the pictures if you'd like to see them. They're on my iPad of her house versus my house, which they took all the pictures of my house. And there were things that I should have gotten in my house that she got that I didn't get for some reason. I don't know how they missed it, but they did. I did, because I was too busy fighting with them about the kitchen not being right and having to pay extra for their error. Unfortunately, the lady who did the blueprints promised me that she understood what we had put on our red lines. When my mom and I dropped off the paperwork, we wanted to do it with her in front of the computer, but she said, no, I'm busy, you know, I'll do it later, I understand. And come to find out, she didn't understand, she didn't do the things that we wanted, and we had to later go back and fix them, you know, to be the way that they should have been originally. And then we found out that she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so I think that she was forgetting a lot of things, not on purpose, but because her health was, you know, disintegrating. And since then, she worked with them for like almost 20 years, she's been let go. So my house is kind of choppy for a lot of reasons.
Okay. Well, thank you for that detailed report. Do you want to submit any evidence with that, or with, you know, your inspection and your calculation? I mean, I don't know if you have that in writing or something. Okay. If that's something you can submit and would like to submit for evidence of the change in value. Thank you. Okay, so I guess in essence my question for the property appraiser is, you know, given given what you saw, the work to be done, do you feel like this value at $334,712 is appropriate for the home in the condition it's in?
Based on the property appraiser's ability and knowledge, again, I'm not a contractor, but based on the information and the tools that we have available, that is the figure that we have depreciated to the property, or feel like needs to be depreciated to the property. Even though she did have a mortgage for $329,000, there's unknown variables are there. Could it have been more? And that's as far as the financial institution wanted to, is that all she was asking for? There's unknown variables. But at the end of the day, and we're still a little above what the mortgage was for. And again, we don't appraise property using mortgage documents. It's to sell the property to the open market. But yes, sir, based on the information that we have available, that is the downward adjustment that we've made to the property.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right. With that then, I'll review that evidence and make a recommendation based on the property appraiser's findings.
I would like to ask if I can at least just go over these numbers with you and over the paperwork that I put together as my rebuttal to their evaluation over $300,000.
You can testify to it. Again, I don't know that. Again, I'll speak with the VAB attorney about its...
I've submitted copies to you, and I've submitted copies to the property appraiser, so everything that I will say is listed, itemized, copied.
Yeah, you can briefly discuss those. And stamped. You know, if you think that's going to make a difference as to what the property appraiser has already uncovered.
Okay. Would you like to follow along?
As far as I know, we're just verbally, or we? I think it's just verbally.
Well, if you'd like to follow along and
you
want
to go, you can go to the one. All right,
thank you.
Exhibit number one is a letter to the court from my mother, because who else better to start with than your mother? I have the original in case you would like the full signature at the bottom. I can read the letter if you would like.
I don't think that's necessary. I mean...
Okay. I can give you a summary.
You can, yeah, just summarize.
Okay, so my mother agreed to help me construct this home with her home equity line of credit and her personal savings, which is why there wasn't, like, a straight... like purchase price on record, because we paid cash to build it on the existing land that I owned. Her and I had an agreement that I would refinance the house and I would pay her back. She is on the two rental properties with me, 50-50 owners. And so I paid off the rental properties with this house. Because I have a friend at the bank that knows my family, that knows me. I've been there for over maybe 10 or 12 years. I've never been late. I have like 800 credit score. And so they allowed me to do this loan with three homes basically in one. So it breaks down the amounts that were paid at the closing for the refinance, which is now all the debt is on my house now, my primary home. And I paid back my mother this way by paying off the rental properties. So that's exhibit number one. Number two is the closing documents. And as you'll see on the red tab here, It shows the estimated escrow amount is $344.32. That's with homeowner's insurance included. I know that's an estimate. And then I highlighted with a yellow tab that the closing cost was about $8,044, which was reduced, I believe, because the bank paid part of that, $569. The next page, tab with the blue tab, where it says payoffs and payments, regions, mortgage was paid off, which was listed in exhibit number 7 as rental number 2. And that's co-owned with my mother and I. And GTE Financial Rental Mortgage Payoff is exhibit number 6. That was also paid off. There's a total of, I think it's $120,000 or $124,000 of other mortgage debt that was not for my primary home at Liberto Road, that was refinanced into this this loan with the agreement that I had with my loan processor, my friend Michael Suda. And the rest of it is just the full closing disclosures. Exhibit number 3, it's the home that I told you about that is owned by my friend that lives down the street. She's got an appraised house at $470,000. I just did, you know, a rough math, $470,000 minus $100,000 for 10 acres would be $370,000 minus $130,000 in upgrades. And, it would mean that my house would be worth $270,000 on half an acre. So I have photos of that if you'd like. I emailed them last night. I've tried to pull them up here, but I think the internet's not working right now. But like I said, her house has a pool. It has automatic blinds, detailed like granite countertops, detailed tile in the bathroom, special electricity, special lighting on the wall, upgraded windows. They added a sliding glass door in the master bedroom. They have pillars in the house, like drop-down pillars. And then they have, like, recessed, almost like, what is that word? Like a tray ceiling, but a tray wall, where it kind of indents into the wall. So it's, like, very three-dimensional. And all of these things were upgrades that I chose not to go with because I couldn't afford to have my house be worth $470,000 or $370,000. She had upgraded faucets and a farmhouse sink, a copper drop-down hood range, full cabinets made out of wood versus mine that are just wood-based in the front part. I mean, the list goes on and on with the upgrades that they had. And like I said, I know her. She's very nice. She's very candid with me about their, you know, appraisal and what they paid for the house and how my advice to them helped them make their house better. So that's how I, you know, went over there and take photos of her house. Exhibit number 4 is additional rebuttal comps. These ones are closer in proximity to the subject, which is my home, less than 5 miles from my home. And you'll see their purchase price was $250,000 on example number 1. And yet its market value is rated at $180,640. This is below their purchase price by $69,356. I estimated their living square foot price to be $81.66. I just divided the market value by the interior area of square footage, which is 2,000 $212 to come up with the $81.66 a foot. Now, this property does have a pool, 180-square-foot pool, and it does have a, the patio is 180-square-foot, and it also has a 384-square-foot pool and a screened enclosure, which my home does not have, which is my argument that my price per square foot should be under this price per square foot with the market value. Example number two, also printed from the property appraiser's website, is a purchase price of $290,000. And this home is on a little over an acre, which is double the land, the lot size that I have, but it's in closer proximity to my house. It's only 0.9 miles from the subject property. The market value is listed online as $237,951, and that is below purchase price by $52,049. And the price per square foot is estimated at $91.09 a square foot. And again, this property has a screened enclosure, almost 500 square feet of epoxy decking, and a pool, almost a 300 square foot pool, which my subject property does not have. Example number three is only 1.6 miles from the subject property. It was sold for $295,000. Its market value is $248,485. And that is $46,515 less than their purchase price. Price per square foot is $92.92. And this one has one additional bedroom. My house has, subject property has four bedrooms, this one has five. Again, this one has, you know, more amenities than mine does, which is my argument that, my price per square foot should be below even that. I use those three examples because they are within a 3-mile radius of my house, and Royal Highlands Unit 5 is like a 1-mile radius. There's several other units in the neighborhood, but they're quite far. Exhibit number 5. It shows that I have a negative escrow balance of $2,217, and that's because of the over-evaluation that was originally imposed on me or on my property. With this evaluation, I will have to increase my mortgage payment by $184.75 per month to come up with the payment for the shortfall in escrow, and then it will also increase for the following months to catch up by $150 per month, which means that my mortgage will go from $1,644.66 up to $1,979.41, which is astronomical increase. Exhibit number 6, it shows the shared rental property between me and my mother, Lucille Clegg. The address is 12139 Canyon Boulevard, Spring Hill, Florida, 34610. This shows that I had a mortgage on the house at $46,174.40. Which was paid in full on March, 18th. My closing was the 17th. And I have several documents here from GTE Credit Union or GTE Financial Credit Union stating the same, that it was paid in full with the funds from my refinance loan at Grove Financial, again, with my connections and friends and my good history with the bank. I was able to obtain that additional amount of money for my home. Exhibit number 7, shared rental property. Number 2 is, the address is 3915 Bramblewood Loop, Spring Hill, Florida, 34609. The mortgage as of March 17, 2020 was $78,446.03. The next page just shows the mortgage statement. The following page shows that it was paid in full on 3/18/2020. Another confirmation, and then a recorded confirmation with the records of Hernando County Clerk's Office stating mortgage release paid in full. This was rolled into my primary mortgage. Exhibit number 8 is rebuttal to the comps that the property appraisers used to, I suggest wrongly, evaluate my property outside of its neighborhood unit to determine a higher taxable value. The map on Exhibit 8, it shows Royal Highlands Unit 5 being in the brown area. I highlighted it with a yellow subject property and an arrow to the left. And then the comp number 1 from the property appraisers is all the way up in Royal Highlands Unit Number 1B. This property is 9.1 miles north of the subject property. After doing extensive research online with the property appraiser's website, I found that this property is not comparable because it has 7 bedrooms, which is 3 more bedrooms than the subject property. It has 6 bathrooms, which is 3 more than the subject property. And the living square foot is 4,051. I divided that by their market value, which the county gave them as $336,247. To get at a living square foot price of $83 a square foot. Their market valuation and their purchase price are similar. They're within $15,000 of each other. The second comp that the property appraisers used to determine my home's value comes 6.3 miles south of my subject property. This lot is 10,000 square feet, roughly larger than my lot. It's an oversized 0.7 of an acre. Mine's just under half acre. This one has 5 bathrooms, which is 2 more bathrooms than the subject property. The price per square foot that I found on this one would be $84.28 in the living area. Comp number 3 from the property appraisers is 5.4 miles from the subject property, and it is located in Royal Highlands Unit Number 2. This one's closer to Spring Hill. I think that's worth mentioning because take me a long time just to get to the store from where I live. This house is on 1.1 acre lot. It has a 5-car garage, which is one car garage more than mine, and 60% larger lot. This property also has a double-sided driveway, a U-shaped driveway with more concrete square footage listed. Their just value, or their market value, listed online is $410,174. And they have a fireplace. They have 5 brick patios totaling 882 square feet. They have a pool that's 420 square feet, a U-shaped driveway that has 3,108 square feet paved. This home has a purchase price of $450,000. However, the property appraiser's market value has it at $410,174, and that is a difference under the purchase price by $39,826. The price per square foot is $128.38, and that's probably because they have a lot of extra amenities and are closer to the city. Comp number 4 from the property appraiser's office comes from Royal Highlands unit number 8. This this one is 6.8 miles north of the subject property. This one has a pool inside the home under the roof. This one has a 30-foot by 15-foot pool. It's on an acre, which is double the lot size of the subject property. The market value is listed at $399,730. It has one additional bedroom than the subject property with a total of 5 bedrooms. It has 4 bathrooms, one more bathroom than the subject property. It has a screened-in enclosure. Subject property does not have a screened-in enclosure. It has, like I said, a pool and a hot tub. The subject property does not have a pool or a hot tub. The price per square foot is $99.73. That's the living square footage price. Again, it sold for $449,000 in 2019, yet it was market valued at $399,734, making its taxable market value $49,270 less than their purchase price. Now, in conclusion, I have exhibit number 9, which I just finally finished today. I apologize for it being handwritten. However, like I mentioned before, there's days where I can't get out of bed. So yesterday was not one of them, and I stayed up all night doing my research for this to finish up what I had already started. Exhibit 9 shows the conclusion to the Region mortgage, the GTE Financial mortgage, the total of those two mortgages being rolled into my primary home's mortgage, and the refinance amount, the total amount that I borrowed for the 3 properties was $329,100, minus the 2 mortgages of $124,620, leaves a balance of $204,480, and minus closing costs, which were also put into my loan, $7,871.70. Therefore, the outstanding mortgage for my house at Liberto Road is $196,608.30. Had I refinanced just that amount and not refinanced the two rental properties to help my mom, then I would not have had a, I think, overinflated value for my home. And then finally, I don't have an exhibit for this. However, I would like to submit to the record. This is just home comps and, you know, how they fluctuate through the years. And then I also brought with me Sunday's newspaper, and in it, it has forecast of possible recession and job losses, layoffs, basically the pandemic that we're going through has made it really tough on a lot of people, and I believe that if I don't have this evaluation dropped to similar to what these other comps are, it's not going to be good. I'm not going to be able to stay in my own house. So I will be here again next year and the year after and the year after. So I would strongly advise that I be treated the same way as everybody else has in comparison to what I paid for my home and how a lot of these comps are paying under their purchase price in taxable market value. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Property appraiser, have any additional comment?
Basically, I had seen in the closing documents that you had paid for an appraisal, but we have never seen an appraisal, and I didn't know if you ever requested that appraisal from the finance and bring that to the hearing to see their comps that they used to derive a value or their opinion of value for the mortgage.
No, I have not, and my loan officer, the gentleman I had mentioned in my closing documents, is a longtime friend of mine, a family friend of ours. And so I believe that he moved mountains for me to be able to do this refinance over and above what anybody else would have done for somebody else. Is it because I know a lot of people? I don't think so. I think it's more that I have a good track record and I always pay my bills on time. I have over 800 credit score.
But the point was, and I just wanted to see their comps that they used to derive that value. Their opinion of value is all I'm going for.
Were you provided with a copy of the appraisal?
I did submit a copy of my appraisal at the first hearing, and it was the $205,000-something dollars.
That's the appraisal that was
on the first one, but there should probably have been another one on this one here, so you probably had another one done after that.
Is that correct?
I did not pay for another one.
No.
No.
On your mortgage documents here that you submitted,
Exhibit 2?
Yes, possibly. Yes, Exhibit 2. I think it's right here on the first page of your closing cost details. It says appraisal fee, if I'm not mistaken, for $475. And that,
I see that, but that was not paid by for me. I did not know that was happening. That was done by the bank, and as you see on the right side at the bottom, where it shows that the bank paid $569.56 under the same column, they paid for that without my knowledge.
Right. There was an appraisal done. That's all I'm asking, to see if you have tried to obtain that appraisal.
I believe I put forth plenty of evidence to show that the mortgage that should be on my property is the conclusion amount of $196,000. All of your comps that you have provided that are outside of my neighborhood show the taxable market value is under the purchase price by over $40,000 again and again and again. And in my original 10 examples that I had brought forth to this committee. Mr. Robinson, is every single one of these properties are under what they paid for in 2019. So why am I being taxed so much higher from what I paid for my house and what somebody could pay for this house tomorrow if they bought a half acre land and they built the same model house as I have today?
Okay. Well, thank you for the discussion. I don't believe I have any other questions at this point. I can tell you that all the information will be reviewed. Again, I will look into the admission of evidence regarding the petitioner's evidence submitted today. Other than that, I think I have what I need to go ahead and make a recommendation, which will be done, and you'll be notified of that at a later time.
Okay, sounds great.
So with that, we'll conclude the hearing.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
The petitioner just asked about some newspaper articles. You're welcome to submit them. I will say, however, keep in mind that the data value is January 1st, 2020, rather. Those might not be, are not really relevant to that time. For next year, if you're back next year,
okay,
that might be something that would be
thank you
more appropriate.